Now just sit right there till we're finished with the show.
Good day, Yap Sheep listeners.
Iron Man is the topic. Join us now for an action-packed adventure that examines metal-clad super beings in and out of the Bible. Not ironically, you will also learn a thing or two about the fourth most abundant element on Earth, iron. Our strongest discussion yet. This topic is so powerful, it's ironclad.
It absolutely is. And who here knows who Iron Man is?
I do.
Iron Man? I'm not sure who the whole character is, but I believe he was a strong businessman of some sort. And his superhero was actually just created out of a bunch of iron that he made to fly. And it was just a suit of iron is all it was.
I'll fill in some blanks there. Basically, the way Iron Man started is in 1963 from Marvel Comics. Some guys got together, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, and Don Heck. And they created in Tales of Suspense number 39 a story about a man who was in Vietnam basically trying to help out with the war effort to see how his transistors, he was an engineer, inventor, millionaire, and he wanted to see how his transistors could be better used in the war, but he ends up getting captured in the Vietnam War. And him and this other, I believe it was another Nobel Prize winner, were actually in jail, captured by the bad guys in the story here. It turns out that Tony Stark, who is Iron Man, he actually, I think an explosion happens, and there's a piece of metal that's stuck near his heart, shrapnel. His life is in danger. Him and this other guy who were in prison build this metal chest plate to go around him to keep his heart beating. Experimental thing, but it worked. And then they figured out that if they build a suit of armor, a whole suit of armor, he can bust out of there and they can escape. Well, the problem though was that in the escape process, the other guy that was helping him sacrificed himself so that Iron Man could be free. We see any parallels here?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Totally. Yeah. Just like Jesus. Jesus sacrificed himself so that we could be saved and be free from our sin.
And I also see how Jesus wraps himself around our hearts to protect us as an armor. Just that whenever we are, we can ward off all the whatever's coming at us, attacks from Satan. Mm. And in order for that to happen, he had to die so that he could wrap himself around us. Absolutely amazing.
Now, as time goes by, Marvel, the publisher of this comic book, it's still going on since 1963. So they've had him do all sorts of things. There's been many different writers. At some point in the story, actually, his armor gets used for obviously great purposes, good purposes, like to keep his heart alive. But at other points in the story, his armor is used for evil. In fact, bad guys take it over, and sometimes he's done things that are not right as Iron Man. And other times, bad guys have actually taken it over and killed people with it. His armor has been used for good and evil. And we'll talk about that a little later. The other thing to think about with regard to Iron Man is, he does really good in his costume most of the time. He does great in his costume. He's a superhero. He's one of the strongest. He's got repulsor rays. He can blast you. Started out as a gray suit. But then they changed it. He wanted to paint it yellow because he thought it was scaring too many people. He wanted to scare people with a gray suit. I think they really just made it more colorful to sell more comic books.
That looks red.
Yes, it's red and yellow. It's gone through some changes over the years. But what? No, this is a fictional character. I'm glad you asked that, Joss. Iron Man is not real. He's a fictional character, and I'm glad you cleared that up for us. So thank you, Josh. The thing is, though, even though he does do good in his costume, does anybody know about his personal life?
Was he an alcoholic?
In fact, yes. He struggled with alcoholism and addiction. In fact, I remember being a kid and reading one of the storylines called Demon in a Bottle, where he actually had a problem with that. And it messed up a lot of things in his personal life that really bad. The lesson for us is, are we like Iron Man, wearing this great costume outwardly, doing good, but inside our personal life is a mess?
No, we have Jesus inside.
At times I don't even feel like that. you just feel like the battle inside raging, and you just feel good and evil, and you're wanting to do good, but still your body does evil. As Paul says, the good I want to do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. And so I can totally relate to Iron Man in that sense.
It's a good thing we can repent, though, and be forgiven. Go to Jesus, and he'll forgive us as we never sinned before.
We've got to be iron and fight it.
That's right. We have to fight the evil.
I was talking earlier about a couple who was in town from Indiana last weekend, and they were actually talking about things about Iron Man. They said apparently their son, they had a grandfather, and the grandfather said, "Oh yeah, my favorite superhero. You know what my favorite superhero is?" And the grandson said, "No, who?" And the grandfather said, "My favorite superhero, it's Iron Man." The little kid who's almost five said, "Lawn Man? Who's Lawn Man?"
Laundry Man? Yeah.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah.
Laundry Man.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a tough super. What do you think Laundry Man's powers are?
Oh, my goodness.
What would he do?
Being clothes on a rock.
Super clean.
He throws all the stuff at people.
Clean clothes?
Yeah, I think the little kid was thinking, ironing, like, you know, how you iron your shirt. And then in his head, he thought that meant laundry, so that's why he said Laundry Man.
That makes total sense.
Are there any Iron Men, men of iron, in the Bible?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think there are plenty of Iron Men.
Who?
Samson.
David.
Moses. Even though Moses was fearful, I think, because he believed in God and he had faith, it made him into an Iron Man.
Okay. Daniel.
Elijah.
Now, I want to get even more literal, though. Are there any actual men of iron in the Bible?
The statue.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, that statue. Daniel.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. There was the statue in Daniel chapter 2. That was, it was four parts. The head was gold. You know, there's a midsection was a different part. The thighs were a different part. Right. And then the legs were iron. And then the feet were what?
Iron and baked clay.
And of course, we know that, you know, a rock that was not cut out with human hands, what did that do?
It smashed the statue.
Which part did it smash?
The feet.
That's right. It smashed the iron part. And of course, we know that that signifies
God.
That's right. Jesus wiped all that stuff out and established an eternal kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
Amen.
One that will never be destroyed.
So there is one. So we've identified one kind of Iron Man statue in the Bible. What about else? Anything else that's literally an Iron Man in the Bible?
Maybe idols? The idols that people worship?
Exactly right. In Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, he was having his banquet with all the royals and all that, and what they were doing was they were praising the false gods. They were praising false gods of gold, silver, bronze, and iron. They were praising the gods of iron. And guess what happens?
The hand appeared.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. A hand appeared, and I picture a giant hand. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because I've seen an illustration with a giant hand. In fact, we were reading this with Luke the other day, and I read to him what the hand actually writes on the wall. What actually happened back then was there was writing on the wall. The writing actually said, "Many, many tekel parson." I was reading the story, and before I got to finish, Luke actually made a comment. I was reading it to him, and Luke made a comment.
"Meeny, meeny, miny, mo."
And what did you mean by that, son?
I don't know.
Well, at the time, he said, "Oh, that kind of sounds like meeny, meeny, miny, mo." And so I thought that was very clever. But of course, what that really meant for the king was that his days were numbered and were coming to an end because God had basically weighed him and found him wanting.
Wow.
We never want to be weighed and found wanting, do we?
No. No. I don't think so.
No.
And then, of course, the last part was that his kingdom was going to be divided to the Medes and the Persians. Be grateful that there's no writing on the wall for us here.
Amen.
Probably the most actually relevant Iron Man in the Bible is a metaphor. And it actually says in Isaiah 48, verse 4, God is talking about his people. And he says that, "I knew how stubborn you were, the sinews of your neck were iron.
Wow.
So be careful if someone calls you an Iron Man in that context.
Hmm.
Because what does that mean?
Stubborn.
That's right. That's right. You're stubborn. So we don't want to be stubborn, do we, guys?
No.
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 No, we don't.
No.
Now, bad guys use iron in the Bible. Bad guys use iron in the Bible. Guess which bad guy, one of the most known bad guys in the Bible, used iron?
Satan.
Satan probably did. That's not who I was thinking of for this particular reference.
Goliath?
Goliath, that's right. You're good. You're good. Yeah, Denise, basically, Goliath, it says that he had a spearhead that was 15, the spearhead was iron, and it was 15 pounds.
Wow.
Not the spear, but the spearhead was 15 pounds. I don't know. How heavy is 15 pounds?
Heavier than a baby.
15 pounds.
Yes.
That's
heavier than a sack of potatoes when I go to the grocery store.
Well, how big is a bowling ball? Is that more than a bowling ball?
For a guy's bowling ball, yeah. Not
guy's
mine.
Bowling ball.
Guy's
bowling
ball
is between 12 and 16 pounds.
I think that's how heavy my dog is.
Yeah,
it's
your
dog?
Okay. Yeah.
He's pretty heavy for me.
One more very clear analogy. Well, I think it's clear, but I need your guys' opinion on this. At least a couple times, God talks about that he brought his people out of Egypt, and he says that he refers to Egypt as the iron smelting furnace. In other words, the way they make iron. My analogy was, well, if God brought his people out of Egypt, and Egypt was an iron smelting furnace, are the people the iron or not?
Yeah, that makes sense.
People out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in an iron smelting furnace, the iron is soft. But once it comes out and cools off, it's hard. It's tough.
And
you can't break it.
They were refined. Is
exactly.
That? That's,
I could see that.
Excuse me. It's kind of cool where iron is hard and you can't break it, but that rock in the story still broke it.
That's right. Well, how do you think that happened?
Because the rock is so strong.
Yes. And who was the rock?
Jesus.
That's right. Speaking of iron, we have an incredible scripture.
Yes. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
It's in Proverbs 27:17.
That is awesome.
What we want to do is basically stay sharp for God.
That's right.
That's right. We want to be sharp for God. How do we do that?
Well, we have to sharpen each other with being in each other's lives and asking deep questions and being in contact with each other and praying together, reading the Word together.
Spurring one another on in love and in truth.
That's right. Otherwise, we'll be dull.
That's
but we'll
right.
be dull.
What is iron?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked. Basically, iron is the main component in steel.
Wow.
Here comes the science lesson.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, we're going to sidetrack the science lesson for a moment because iron is also in the fictional character Wolverine. They mixed iron with this fictional metal called adamantium, and they coated his bones with it. So the claws that you see in the X-Men, that's iron mixed with this something called adamantium, and it's derived from iron. And,
he was my favorite X-Men character.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
And then does anyone know Captain America?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His
yeah.
shield, Captain America's shield was also made of adamantium, which, of course, is half, you know, part iron in there. Back to the,
I have a question. What do you think would make, Captain America's shield or, who is it?
Wolverine's
claws.
I don't know, because they're made out of the same things.
That would be a good battle, but God would win all the way around.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Wolverine would lose.
You think so?
Yeah, because those claws are kind of littler than the shield.
Yeah.
That could be, maybe.
And skinnier.
Well, I do know this. There were, I think, a couple times where Captain America's shield got all messed up somehow, and guess who helped him out to fix it?
Wolverine.
No, Tony Stark, Iron Man.
Oh!
That's right.
Iron Man.
He's the guy who can make all the iron. So, back to our science lesson here regarding true things about iron. Of course, that was fictional with the adamantium. That's not a real substance. But iron is the fourth, as Noni mentioned earlier, it's the fourth most abundant element on Earth, and it is the most used metal in the world. The other thing it does is it rusts. If it's not protected, it rusts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we know from Matthew chapter 6 that rust Jesus says that rust destroys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Look at my car.
But use it. You don't use it. The rust.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should have gotten some Rusty Jones.
What is rust?
Well, rust basically is the deterioration resulting from neglect. Yeah.
I know what rust is.
What is
it? It's like dust and dirt, and it kind of gets on cars.
That's right. That's right. It is like
small.
That. It's because the service is neglected.
Rust makes stuff dirty.
It sure does. It sure does. Now, what happens, and of course, again, that's from neglect of the surface. What happens when we neglect our relationship with God?
It gets rusty like a tin man.
Yes.
Yeah. Are we rusty?
Oof.
No.
We don't pray enough, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I know in the beginning of this, I wasn't accustomed to praying so long in the middle of the day. I know most of us have signed up for a half hour sometime to pray through this prayer chain that we were going through, and I was rusty. I was not accustomed to, you know, praying so long in the middle of the day. I'm grateful that we had a prayer chain. Another thing to know about iron, guess how many times it's in the Bible? How many?
2,000.
2,000. Wow. That's a
is
lot.
That a number?
Luke.
90.
90 is right.
Wow. Right.
What a good go, Luke.
In fact, it's in the Bible 90 times. 82 are in the Old Testament. And the first appearance of the word iron is actually in Genesis 4:22. This guy named Tubal-Cain, who was seven generations from Adam, he started forging tools out of iron.
Wow.
And some translations translate it as he was teaching others to forge tools.
So he took them out of the Stone Age into the Iron Age?
Possibly. Possibly.
Oh, yeah, Cain.
But we're not sure if people were using it before that, but we know that definitely from Tubal-Cain on, they were cranking with iron. The other thing that I thought was remarkable about iron is that when Joshua built the altar and when they built the temple, they could not use iron tools on it.
Wow.
Why?
Why?
Do we know why?
I don't exactly know why. Well, that's a good reason right there, yeah.
Is it because iron rusts, and because of it rusting, it is like not clean?
It's possible. Well, the other thing, though, is you can use iron stuff in the temple. Like, you could use iron nails, but you cannot use iron tools.
Yeah, see?
That's an interesting bit of Bible trivia.
Yeah.
Are bricks made out of iron stuff?
No. No. No, they're not.
Then what is?
What's made out of iron?
Yeah.
Like steel beams, nails.
Cars have iron in them. Anything that's made with steel. Any type of steel.
Metal.
Exactly.
One of my favorite superheroes from the Bible is Elisha. He was dealing with iron in a famous story in 2 Kings 6, where basically this guy is borrowing this axe, and he's cutting down trees with this borrowed axe. So, you know, he's chopping away, chop, 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 and whoosh, the axe head flies off and goes into the water and sinks.
Good thing
it
didn't kill anyone.
Well, yeah. And the guy is, you know, he's freaking out. He's like, oh no, that was borrowed. So Elisha, he cuts a stick, throws it in the water, and the axe head floats up to the surface. And they got it back.
Yeah.
So wow. Elisha was using, and that was an iron axe, by the way. And Elisha was using that really well.
That's what I was going to say. It was an iron axe.
It absolutely was. The other one who really wields iron well is Jesus. When I actually first started this study, I thought, well, maybe Jesus was described as sort of an iron man in the scriptures, because I know it says his feet were like burnished bronze.
Mm-hmm.
But nowhere does it attribute iron to him. So I was corrected there. But his feet were burnished bronze. And those four intense creatures with the wings, in Ezekiel, they also had feet like burnished bronze, and they went wherever the Spirit went. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was amazing to try to picture. And burnished bronze, do we know what burnished bronze is?
No.
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 Is it buffered or buffed?
Exactly. Polished, buffered, shiny, exactly.
Wow.
Right on.
Thank you, Mark.
But Jesus is wielding some iron, I'll tell you what, because in Revelation 12:5, he rules with an iron scepter.
And heavy.
Yeah. Do we know what a scepter is?
Yeah, it's like a staff mm-hmm. that they hold.
That's right.
Is a stole sword made out of iron?
Yes.
If a stick kind of is made of steel and iron?
That's right. Yeah, and it's usually used to signify sovereignty, authority, and the idea is Jesus is the ultimate authority. He's got this iron stick.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's awesome.
We need to bow down.
Let's hope he doesn't throw it at somebody. It'll hurt.
I'm sure it would. We talked about iron. We talked about Iron Man. What kind of Iron Man or woman are you? So we've got some options. We can be a rusty. We can be a rusty Iron Man or Iron Woman.
Mm.
We could be stubborn.
Mm.
Or we could be protected, like Iron Man when he first started, guarding our hearts.
Yeah.
Josh.
I think we're all protected.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome. And before you head, let us take note. The fictional Marvel superhero character, Iron Man, has armor that has been used for good, to protect the heart, and also for evil over the years. The question that we should all ask ourselves, and each other every day is, which are you being used for right now?
We're almost done yapping, but you can yap too. Send your comments to chicagoicc@gmail.com.
And of course, we'd like to thank our sponsor, this episode of Yap Sheep, brought to you by the Father, the Son, and
Holy Spirit.
Bah, bah.